'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Hold it a second. That was your first mistake. I'm starting like crazy to get these Christmas goodies finished.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there.
Okay, you know what? That's your second mistake. Those stockings are hung by the fireplace to dry out. The kids won't stay out of the wet snow.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads.
Sugar plums? Sugar plums? These kids are just dreaming about gifts. Gifts and stuff and things. They don't care if the stuff dances or not. They just like the loo.
Mrs. Mouse, you certainly seem negative. Are you a little disturbed by Christmas?
Christmas? Bah humbug. All it is work and worry and loo and bills and gimme, gimme, gimme got to.
Oh no, Mrs. Mouse. Christmas is much, much more than that. Let me grab the first edition of The Night Before Christmas and see if that will help you understand. Now settle down and listen.
'Twas the night before Christ's birth, and up in the sky, the angels are prepping to be heard on high. Tonight's the night. God is sending Jesus down to earth.
I'm so excited. Who should we tell the news to first?
Let me look at our assignment scroll. We are to go to the hills outside of Bethlehem to a group of shepherds.
Shepherds, should we tell the important people?
It's God's plan for you to tell the shepherds first. The birth is just the beginning of the plan.
Well, God knows best. Let's get the other angels and head out. Lead on, Gabriel.
Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to
Bethlehem, a small rural town, were just getting ready to lay themselves down.
I have so much to do. I have never seen so many people in town. This tax census from the Romans is really causing a lot of headaches. My place is so full, I've had to turn people away. Just a little while ago, a young couple begged me to let them stay in my stable. I let them. The wife is expecting a baby any time now. I suppose it is better than sleeping in the street. Maybe I should check on that couple. No, they'll be all right.
And out on the hillside, while watching their sheep, a group of young shepherds were falling asleep, when suddenly, out of the sky, came a light. An angel appeared, making everything bright.
Peace to each man, you need not have fear, for the news we have brought you will find very dear.
A baby is born, the night is his birth. He's come to save all the people on earth.
In Bethlehem town, you'll find this your child with Joseph and Mary, his mother, Samaya.
Sharing a manger with actual sheep, nestled in blankets, the babes on the seat.
Good news, we bring you this wonderful...
Jesus is born!
Let us run to the site.
A vision!
Did you hear what the angel said? Jesus is born!
We must do what the angels have told us to do. Let's hurry and run to the stable.
God will take care of the sheep. Let's hurry!
And just as the angels delivered the news, the shepherds went searching with no time to lose. And just as the angels had told them out loud, they found Jesus with Mary and Joseph so proud.
So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee to go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from King David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph, and they were soon going to have a baby. While they were there, they gave birth to their firstborn son. They wrapped him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay, since there was no room for them in the inn. That night on the hillside, some shepherds were watching their sheep, when all at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day, in King David's hometown, a Savior is born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know this because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in, saying, "Praise God in the heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases him."
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep.
Person who hears and believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. For all folks have sinned and gone their own way, God listens closely when we choose to pray and choose to love Jesus who came down to earth to live and to die and to give us new birth.
Terrific! Christmas isn't all about Lou and Gimme 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 Got To. It's really about Jesus and love and joy straight from God.
Congratulations! Now you know the reason for the season.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Man, that's awesome. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope that lifts your spirits this morning. All of our children singing Joy to the World and letting us know the reason for the season. Are you excited about what God's going to do today in your life? Amen. We're going to receive this morning's tithe and offering now. And you should be excited about that. Every time we go to do this around this time of year, I have this urgency. I have this great want to ring a bell. Christmas time, I want to jack the name of the Church of the Salvation Army, and I want to steal their idea for taking money and collecting money from people at Walmart just randomly. It's the greatest gig ever. And so maybe if we ring a bell this morning, you'll be like, oh yeah, it's time to give. And you'll do that because have you ever came out of Walmart and they're ringing the bell and you don't have anything to give and you're like, uh-oh, you hear the bell as you're getting ready to walk out and you realize there's no cash, no change. Suddenly you're like, I have to hide or I can't look at them in the eye. I have to avoid eye contact for sure, and I have to walk faster, and you're like, and suddenly you start talking to the person next to you about nothing. You're just like, oh yes, and then the Browns game comes on at 1 o'clock today just to avoid eye contact. Well, you can all look at me, and we're going to receive this morning's tithe and offering, so that way the message of Christ can be propagated for tomorrow and the day after that, and our grandchildren and all of our children, their children will receive the message of Christ, and they'll be free in their spirit. Amen. That's why we give. So let's hold it up before the Lord and let's bless it and let's commission it to do some impossible stuff. Are you ready to pray for it to do some impossible stuff? Let's enter the realm of the impossible now as we give. Father, we thank you that every seed given today has the mark of the anointing to do the impossible, that it breaks yokes and it destroys the works of the enemy in the land. God, that it just brings the message of hope and deliverance and salvation, abundant life. We thank you that it's drenched in revival, that it revives the heart of the weary. God, we thank you that our giving revives the heart of the weary in this time. We thank you that revival, this is attached to this, that the dead shall be raised, that the sick shall be made well. The gospel, the good news of Jesus is attached to this giving this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to give. You bless us. It is an honor to live for you and give to you because you died and gave it all for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're giving online, you can just scroll up there and give. We need you to do that. Don't pirate God's word here at Church on the North Coast. We just appreciate your giving online as well. So if you have your Bible, go with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to give you part 2 of what our kids gave us this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Let's read. Now there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And verse 9 says this. And I just, as I read it, I want to set it up. I want to set it up because up to this point in time, every time an angel showed up, it was bad. Listen, there was fear attached. There was no mirth. There was no merriment of heart. Every time up to this point, imagine you're just out there with your sheep and you're hanging out and an angel shows up and you're like, oh no, somebody's going to die. Fire's going to fall from the sky. God is not happy. Judgment and wrath is about to come to us now. And you cringe because the angel just showed up. You're like, you brace for what you know is about to happen. That's all time has ever known up until now when angels show up on the scene. That's all it's ever known. And now suddenly, Jesus shows up. Bang! This announcement. No, he didn't even show up. He didn't even show up yet. This was just the announcement. Right? And watch. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and glory was everywhere and lit up around them, and they were greatly afraid. You see? They expected it. They expected it to come, just like a lot of us right now are expecting, you know, the worst. Anytime God shows up, we're like, ah, I know what I did. Here we go. Here it comes. Nothing but bad's going to come to me. And they were greatly afraid. And then verse 10 said, then the angel said to them, what did he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings. That word means the gospel. I bring to you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Oh my gosh, this should resound for, I mean, we should revisit this about every week. We should just go back and read this again. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill towards you. God has nothing but goodwill towards you. But I fear that this Christmas season, many of us are celebrating while in prison. We live in a prison of fear. We live in a prison of expectation of judgment. We live in a prison of expectation of wrath. We live in a prison of that which we did last week that we know we shouldn't have did. We live in a prison of fear of sin. We open gifts, we sing the songs, we say Merry Christmas, but all the while we can't seem to shake the effect that sin has got us imprisoned. We are like the shepherds on the hill that when he showed up, when that angel showed up, we expect bad news. We're just bracing ourselves for more bad news. But I have an announcement. It's a cosmic announcement. You realize on that day, this cosmic announcement, restoring the hearts of the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father, as the prophet declared, it changed everything. You see, the Christmas season, this is the season that reminds us how God loves us forever. This is the season that should remind us that God loves us, he loved us, he loves us forever. And we have to resist the tendency. We just tend to forget, don't we? We just tend to revert back to the hills of Bethlehem. We're there with our sheep, and then we revert right back in to fear and expectation of bad. Every one of us have a tendency, if we're not watchful, if we're not living in faith constantly, we all have a tendency to revert right back to that old man where we expect judgment and wrath and God's anger and all of God. We go right back to that point. We find ourselves sitting at that point and we're like, here we go again. Nothing but bad, 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 gloom, destruction, woe. Every prophetic word is drenched in ugly. Every prophetic word is drenched in bad. Every word from God, you're like, you're expecting the word. But we have to resist the tendency to revert to bad news, angry and upset. The Savior of ours came and he made a cosmic announcement. He made a cosmic announcement. It was like, and you know, all of heaven showed up on that night to celebrate it. All of eternity, look, eternity showed up within time to go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We've been waiting for this forever. Praise God. You guys have finally been restored and redeemed. It's amazing. All of eternity, grab that just for a minute. All of eternity chose to go back down into, to show up inside of time and to celebrate this moment when Jesus shows up. They're like, do you understand what just happened? Like God doesn't have to kill anybody anymore. He's gonna do it himself. And they all celebrate. In that moment, the whole world was set free. The whole world was let go, was let out of prison. Have you ever seen a prisoner who was let out of jail who is depressed? You've seen them on TV. You know those prisoners who were, they were wrongly indicted and they spent like 25 years in jail and then they're standing in front of a podium. Have you ever seen a frown on their face? No, because freedom brings joy. They're like, oh my gosh, I've been pardoned. It wasn't me. It was that guy. I've been telling you the whole time. Jesus paid my debt. I'm free. I'm happy. This is exciting. Forevermore, I'm free. But we show up to church. Oh God, he's going to. I know what I did last night. Just cower in fear of Father. I was in a bad mood the other day. It happens. I don't know what it was. You ever have one of those days, Clarence? You just, I'm in a bad mood. Like, I'm just not happy right now. And I can't even figure out why. I want to be in a good mood, but I'm in a bad mood. I was in a bad mood, so I'm slamming doors. I'm working in the house. I don't know what it was, you know. I'm taking out the garbage angry. How do you do that? I don't know, but I was just, oh. Just mad, you know. And you try to cover it up. We got the worst poker faces in the kingdom, you know. We try to pretend, but we can't. We're like, what's the matter with you? Nothing. There's something wrong with you. No, there's not. Why do you keep asking me that? Becca's like, there's something wrong with you. Why are you, there is. I'm like, no, there isn't. What's wrong with me is you keep asking me what's wrong with me. That's making me mad. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. But my wife, she's like the Holy Spirit. She's like Holy Spirit. She says, well, just so you know, you're upsetting the children. She didn't say that. She said, well, you're walking around here like you're mad. You got all of us walking on eggshells. I mean, you know, you're just like the angry dad right now. When she said that, Holy Spirit, sometimes he punches me in the face. But it doesn't hurt. What kind of hurts? Hurts my pride. But then I thought, you know what, God, I don't want to be angry dad. I don't want to be angry dad, because when I'm angry dad, then my children are insecure. I don't want my children to be insecure. I don't want my children to walk around timid. I don't want my children to like go in the other room when I walk into the room. Oh yeah, but we do that every Sunday. We do that just about every day. We walk into the room and we think that God's angry. And you know what we do when we sense his presence? We're like, I'm leaving here. He's going to beat me up. He's going to spank me and I'm going to get in trouble. So we go to our room and we hide and we watch TV because dad's angry. Yeah, we live with this expectation of an angry father. We revert back to judgment and wrath and, you know, all of that. But I'm just here to announce to you today that on that day, the stuff we're celebrating now in this Christmas season, on that day it was finished forever. Dad has not been angry since Calvary. I say it again. Your father, my father, our father who is in heaven has not been angry since Calvary. He dealt with your sin. He finished it. He buried it. He rose again to seal it in heaven. Now all we have to do is receive it by faith and we can walk in the peace thereof. So the message to you is that the earth is redeemed. This Christmas season, I want you to know the earth has been redeemed and you are in the earth. Therefore, you are redeemed with it by faith in Jesus. All you have to do is open the gift. He's the gift of the season, you know. He's what Santa's peddling. Listen, we need to take it easy on Santa, church. He's got a bum rap. You guys are mad at him. Stop being mad at Santa. He's just giving gifts to little kids. He's no threat to the kingdom, promise you. He's just some fat guy handing out presents. And let's just commission him. Let's just give Santa a job, amen? Let's just give Santa a job on behalf of the church to go out and pronounce and throw a party for Jesus. Because go, Jesus, it's your birthday. Go, Jesus, that's Santa's job. He's like, go, Jesus, it's your birthday. I got some presents to hand out. It's salvation. You say Santa's coming somewhere in the church in certain circles, and you can, don't you dare bring Jesus. Don't you bring Santa up in here. I'm sorry. I thought he was going to tell the message. Never mind. So I think if Santa was, I was going to dress up like Santa, but I didn't want to freak anybody out. I was going to dress up like Santa and hand out presents. I was going to open up the present and say, this is the gift to you, and it's Jesus. And if you'll just open up this gift of Jesus, you'll walk in freedom, you'll walk in joy, you'll expect good news to come to you, you'll expect the goodwill of the Father to come to you. So if Santa was handing out presents this morning, I believe he'd be handing out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd be declaring to you and me, hey, stop living in fear. Stop living in this with this fearful expectation of bad to come to you. There's only good. There was a cosmic announcement that happened in this time, and it was that Jesus, the Savior, came, and he remedied sin forever. The message to you and I in this Christmas season is that glory brings his goodness and light. That glory, when he showed up, glory showed up with him, and goodness and light became available. You know that from this season, somewhere around from the 21st to the 25th, I think it's almost prophetic that we did it. That we took his birth and we moved it to this time. Because it really wasn't in this time. You know, theologians, I don't want to go there. But they moved it to this season. And in this season, from about the 21st to the 25th, we start picking up light. We started losing light, and then right around the 21st to the 25th, we start gaining light. We start gaining light. We start picking up light. Things start getting brighter. Days start getting longer. Joy comes in the morning. Here comes Jesus. He's turning on the light. You don't have to walk in darkness no more. You can walk in his light. He's turning on the light for you and me. On that day he turned on the light, you don't have to live in darkness anymore. You can live in the light, because when his glory shows up, when it showed up, then glory came with him. And when glory shows up, suddenly good news is pronounced and lights turn on. So whatever's dark in your life right now, I just pronounced to you, Merry Christmas. Jesus showed up. The lights come on. Because when glory shows up, lights turn on and good news comes. We have to learn to live in the light. 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. Did you hear that? But if we walk in the light, when his glory shows up, light comes. When his glory, everybody say that, when his glory shows up, light comes. And as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us. On that day, there was a cosmic cleansing. Humanity was cleansed of sin. It didn't happen the day you came down here. It happened when he was born. Your sin was your sin. The answer to your sin happened on that day. It didn't happen when you came down here. Oh, you just received that gift on that day. And many of you will receive that gift today. But that happened to humanity. Humanity's sin was reconciled on that day when he was born. Behold, good news I bring to you. Your sins are done. Finished. We have to learn to live in this light, and we have to get out of darkness. Get out of darkness. Stop living there. Stop running there. Stop reverting to darkness. Stop living in gloom. Stop living in depression. Choose not to. Make a decision today to live in Merry Christmas. Make a decision today to live in his light. Make a decision today to open the gift. And then tomorrow, when it comes again, open the gift again. And the day after that, when it comes again, open the gift again. It's for eternity. The whole good news that shines in the darkness. We cannot allow his name, his glory, to become synonymous with bad news and darkness. But every time we revert back, suddenly we make his name, we make that announcement on that day synonymous with darkness and gloom and destruction. You see that? Every time we revert back and people witness our lives, we are living epistles, people look at you and they look at me and they go, that Jesus you talk about, most of the time, he's synonymous with some bad news. So you know what? No thank you. But we have to make his name synonymous with good news. Our testimonies should be louder than our agonies. Our testimonies should be louder than our agonies, our pains, what the enemy's doing. The Christmas carol is true. He will bring us goodness and light. It's true. He's bringing us goodness and light. He has brought us goodness and light. Goodness. I encourage you today to reach out for his goodness. I encourage you today to turn on the lights. Turn on the lights. Secondly, Christ brings great joy. He brings great joy. I don't know how many of you have seen the book or have read the... I'm all confused. You read a book, you watch a movie. And I don't know how many of you have watched Shawshank Redemption. You ever see that? You remember Brooks? Brooks, the old guy? He spent his entire life in prison. Brooks spent his entire life in prison. He gets out one day. He gets out. He's pardoned. He's set free. He goes out into the world. And he's a free man. But he lives in prison. He lives as an institutionalized man. My question for you today. Have you been pronounced free, yet living in prison like Brooks? Brooks takes his life later. He can't take it. He can't shake prison from his mind. He can't break it. He was so institutionalized that he'd rather die than live in this world of freedom. He can't comprehend it. Couldn't comprehend it. And my question to you today is, can you comprehend the idea that you've been set free? We've been set free. Or are you living as an institutionalized Christian? Would you rather live a life of an institutionalized Christian, yet free, but revert back to prison life? Celebrating Christmas in prison every day. But you see, the good news was that he came to bring great joy. Jesus, on that day, he pronounced great joy. This is why angry, upset, bitter, frustrated Christians confound me. They confound me. I don't understand. He has pronounced great joy over your life. You know what that word means, the translation in Greek? I normally don't do this, but it's so significant here. It means happiness because of grace. It means happiness because of grace. 2 John 1:3 says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. Grace, joy, and peace shall be with you. Joy because we realize the penalty was too great and that we are now free. Are you struggling to find joy today? Don't allow your sin to be greater than his love. The Son, the love that the Son gave. The prophet says this, for unto us a child is born, but a son was given. He was born a child, but he was given as a son. And he was given as a son to anoint you as sons, to anoint you as daughters. He was given to us as a son to provide us a privilege of a father that wants only good for us, that wants to provide for us in every way imaginable. If you can imagine it, no, he wants to provide for you in ways that you can't even imagine. He wants you to enter into the miraculous. This joy, drenched in grace, is available to us. It was the announcement on that day. The Son's given, and he gave his love. All you have to do is open it. If you can't seem to find joy in this world, it's because it's wrapped in grace. You and me, we're the prisoner who's been set free. Joy is available. Christ brings peace and goodwill. Did you notice the end of verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, this is eternity saying this. This is heaven declaring this. Watch this. Heaven, This is not us. This is not all those of us living inside the dirty, dusty, painful, parameters of time. This is heaven declaring this word here. Listen to what they say. They say, glory to God in the highest. And listen to their pronouncement. And on the earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Peace and goodwill toward humanity forever. For those struggling to find any peace, there is goodwill from God. Ephesians 1:9 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He's rich in grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. What's his will? Grace. His will. What? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Forever settled is the question of whether God wants bad for you or good. Bad or good. You know, this is a conversation I hear all the time. When I hear people say it, I want to throw a shoe at them. Somebody dies prematurely, right? So suddenly we change our theology to our circumstance. Somebody dies prematurely. It shakes our beliefs so much that we choose then to change what we believe to fit where we are. They say, so-and-so died. A young lady just died the other day, 41 years old. Now, do you think for one moment we should change what we believe according to God's word because of the circumstance presented? But suddenly you hear the rumors. You hear these things coming from the shadows because they always come from dark places. You hear these people saying things from dark places. It must be God's will. Must be God's will that I have cancer. Must be God's will that my son died prematurely. Must be God's will. Must be God's will for us. And I just want to take them back to the text, and I want to show them what heaven has proclaimed on that day when Jesus was born. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That is not God's will for your life. It will never be. Let's stop replacing the good news of Christ with poor theology. That's poor theology. It's terrible theology that the enemy would come and steal, kill, and destroy, and we'd lay it at the feet of our Savior. This is just a way to dishonor the greatest gift ever given to you and I, is to lay it at the feet of the Savior and say, what you did was not sufficient for what I'm experiencing now. But the Word declares his grace is sufficient. I don't know why. I don't know why. We have to learn to say that more in the kingdom. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm not willing to lay this at the feet of my Savior and replace my theology in Jesus with my experience and circumstance currently. I won't do it. I will not do it. He birthed me alive. He made me to live. He breathed on me, and suddenly I became alive, and I will not dishonor that life that lives inside of me with an experience that somehow contradicts that. I can't do it. I won't do it. Yet, though he slay me, I shall praise him. Doesn't matter what the circumstance says, my heart is steadfast, immovable, fixed upon the Lord. What he says, I believe, and I don't care how much the enemy comes upon me. I will believe in Christ. I will receive the gift of salvation in my life. Peace on earth. His pronouncement is peace into your life. If you can't find it anywhere and you're looking for it at the bottom of a bottle, he just opened the gift of Jesus. And maybe you'll return to that bottle, but you know what? Just come back to Jesus again and open the gift of Jesus. And maybe you'll go back again, but you know what? Just come back again and open the gift of Jesus. You know, his love is unending. It was an incarnation that happened on that day. It was an incarnation that happened on that day. He came dressed in humanity. He knows what sin feels like. He knows what temptation feels like. So he decided he would remedy it. He remedied it for you. You can experience his peace. And you can experience his goodwill today. Christ born in the believer's heart brings peace and the expectation of the Father's will towards us. There's expectation of good. As I close, I want you to know, there's a gift available to us today. It's a gift. You know, if I were to give you this gift, congratulations, Autumn, by the way. Congratulations. Everybody give it up for Autumn. She won some money. She went down and sang, and that's the anointing. That's the anointing. She went down, she sang, and suddenly, you know, they recognized the anointing. That's the anointing in the world, transforming a place. That's amazing. Congratulations. But if I were to give you this gift today, wrap it all up real nice and pretty and give this to you, and you were to just kind of throw it over there, just throw it and leave it there. I gave you a gift. I provided for you the greatest gift that I could possibly give. It came from my heart. I sacrificed to give it. I gave my life for it. I died. I went to Calvary. I was beaten for that gift. I bled for that gift. I went into a grave and I was separated from my Father for that gift. The Father turned away from me. I, in that moment, knew what hell felt like. And I gave it to you. And you threw it away. In this Christmas season, there is a gift. It's presented to everyone in this room, everyone alive, everyone sucking earth, everyone sucking air on this ball of dirt that we're on. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's to everyone. It's for everyone. Verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." Savior is needed. A Savior is needed for our sin. Somebody said this, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist." I believe he would have sent us an iPod. "If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior." He sent us a Savior. 1 John 4:14 says this, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior to the world." And then John 3:17, you know this one. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." We've been rescued. You have been redeemed. The message of this Christmas season is that the gift of Christ's birth is available to you. You just have to receive it, and you have to open it. You have to open it. If you don't open it, you neglect it. You throw away and you trample underfoot the greatest gift ever given to mankind. The gift of His love. The gift of your freedom. Open the gift today. And celebrate Christmas. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you'd like to open that gift today. With me. I want to open that gift. You need to open that gift. This is the means of which you open it. You just receive it by faith. You open it by faith. You and I, we can open this gift now. We receive it by faith and we say, "I repent of my sin. I turn from it. I realize that this gift that you're offering, it sets me free from that thing that plagues my heart and condemns me and causes me to live in darkness. And so I receive it by faith. I declare, Jesus, you were born. You hung upon a cross and you died for me. And I receive that gift right now. I thank you for that gift. And I choose to celebrate that gift every day of my life. And when I walk away, when I fall, when I fail, I'll return to that gift and I'll open it again. Again and again, I'll continue to receive this gift into my life." Prayed that prayer, I just want you to lift your eyes toward heaven right now. Yes, Jesus. We receive it. We open it today. We thank you so much. So no more. No more living in darkness. No more fearful expectation of bad. We receive the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is a Merry Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Help us now from this day forward to walk with Merry Christmas in our hearts and Merry Christmas on our lips.
We thank you so much, Jesus, for this time today. We give you praise and adoration, and we celebrate your birthday. It is your birthday. We recognize your birthday brings to us new birth, brings to us new life, abundant life. And so we pray for any sickness or disease that might be present. We declare you have no business being here. You have to go because good news has come. Joy, great joy wrapped in grace. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you stand to your feet with me as we conclude? Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Our altar ministers are coming now. Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward. If you gave your heart to Jesus today, you say, I surrendered my life there in that prayer that you prayed, and I'd like to kind of just come forward and recognize that. We want to do that for you. We want to pray for you. If you have any need presently in your life, any circumstance that challenges the light of the glory of God, we want to pray for you, and we want you to come forward now. We bless you as you go. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard, and tell somebody Merry Christmas today, and just display the love of Christ for them. Amen. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, come now.